Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic today is meditation. And I hope that if you get started with meditation, that you derive as much benefit from it as I have. Some of the side effects for me have been a calmer state of being, and I think also that it's affected my health in a positive way over the years. But we'll talk more in depth about that in a little while. Meanwhile, there's a thought by Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. And all of the dialogue that you hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. She wrote 24 volumes of books, and everything you hear that we speak about really emanates from her works. As does this thought, by the way. Meditation is not an escape from reality, but a path of discovery of the true self, the spiritual being, the soul. Well, I think that probably one of the greatest things that we can do in our life is to know who we are. If we can go through our lives and know who we are and acquire a larger definition of ourself, I think we will have gained a lot during our lifetime. What is the value of meditation?
I think meditation is a means for coming in touch with who you really are. It's a means of retrieving the rest of oneself. That's how I really think of it. I suppose most of us think we know who we are, but in fact, we could be compared to the tip of an iceberg. Mm-hmm. In the middle of an ocean, the portion that's sticking up above the water is just a tiniest portion of the entire iceberg. That might be compared to our awareness of ourself, that the part that's most visible, the outer self, is only a tiny fragment of the real all-encompassing identity of the self. And of course, that applies not only to ourselves, but to everyone else too. If we apply that realization to ourselves, we have to also realize that there's a great deal about those, even whom we know very well, that we don't know so well. So meditation helps one to come in touch with who they really are. This is done by redirecting the attention, I think. It's a process of taking the normal activity of the mind, which is normally focused outward, objectifying itself in the sense of being preoccupied with what's going on an outer level of form, and turning that flow of attention inward toward the inner dynamic that's going on within us, and in time to the intuition. What would you say?
Well, also, you want to add to that, I think one valuable asset to a study of meditation, a practice of meditation, is the ability to concentrate.
That's the start.
Mm-hmm. That's the start. That's mm-hmm. the very first thing that one must practice, really, before you even get into the mm-hmm. formal meditation work. That's not easy to do, is to concentrate and hold the mind steady on a single thought or an idea, and that's really what we should aim for in meditation. But you just
Just try.
Just try to hold your mind steady for 5 seconds. And particularly us here in the Western world, we have such a busy, busy kind of mind and always analyzing things, and the mind is constantly working and moving and modulating. And what you have to do, first of all, is to slow down that modulating mind and to hold it steady, as we say, in the light of the soul. And that is certainly not an easy thing to do. It's not a question of suppressing your thoughts, because that's not good. It's a matter of redirecting the energy in a one-pointed way towards this objective of the soul. And that's really what you should aim for. And concentration, really, you're learning to concentrate is a technique that will help you in your daily life, even outside of meditation. You learn to concentrate your daily life and your activities, and you begin to organize your daily life in a better way and make it more one-pointed. So it has a definite contribution to even the daily life.
And I don't think that we in the West should underestimate our capacity to meditate. There's a lot of respect, rightfully so, for the Eastern attainment in meditation practice. But the Western way of life, oddly enough, also orients itself to the practice of meditation as a kind of Raja Yoga, which we'll talk about in a while. What I'm getting at is that even the person who's occupied with business or with a scientific problem is prepared to meditate because they have learned to mobilize and organize the faculties of the mind and to focus that energy on the solution to a particular problem. So we shouldn't underestimate our readiness to learn to meditate, but it is, as you say, something that you learn. You don't just sit down one day and decide you're going to meditate, at least not most of us. It's a, like all worthy endeavors, it's something you train and study and practice to do well.
Yes, and probably many scientists or those with a scientific orientation already do meditate in their own way. As you say, they are highly concentrated on a thought, particularly mathematicians.
Mm-hmm.
They work in this abstract realm of mathematics, and that requires some deep, one-pointed thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's
essentially what meditation is, sustained, concentrated thought.
It reminds me of that story a few years ago of the scientist at Princeton, the mathematician who solved Fermat's theorem. It took him years, and then one day the solution finally just dropped into his mind while he was sitting in his study. That's a kind of meditation where you create an opening for a new realization to precipitate itself. I think the drawback of Western life is that it doesn't create the silence that is needed for concentrated use of a concentrated focus of energy. You need silence and withdrawal from activity on the outer level. That's very hard to find in our Western way of life.
Not only the silence of the outer world, you know, you want a quiet place to meditate in, but also the silence of your thought processes.
Yeah. That's the internal noise.
It's the internal noise, yeah. This is a constant
never stops.
Modulation and busy, busy, busy mind analyzing this and that, and that's very noisy.
And if you don't think there's a lot of noise going on inside your head, try to meditate. That's when you really become aware of how much activity, how much noise. Mm. It's like the people that pass you in the street with the headphones that create the noise that spills out and you hear it. Well, there's that noise inside your head that's even worse, that is your thinking about your grocery list, about your neighbor, about your daughter, about what you have to do at work, about what you're going to do this evening, about what you're going to cook for dinner, and it goes on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And to get that to stop is the beginning step in meditation.
Right. You always have to keep in mind the objective here, and that's, at least as far as the meditation work that we use, and practice, is the objective is alignment with the soul. And the objective is to make your mind in a, you know, position where it synchronizes with that of the soul. And the soul is very one-pointed and in a quiet atmosphere in its own right, and that's what you have to synchronize with.
But the soul, would you, speaking about the soul now, I just want to make sure that I understand this. You're saying that when you speak about the soul, you're speaking about that spiritual essence that permeates the whole universe, that's also not only outside of us, but also within us?
Within us, okay. The consciousness aspect, the higher self that all of us have, and which you acquire access to through meditation, through service, through love. And that's what Dale is referring to.
Well, I certainly don't want it to be a program on the soul. We've done that. We will do it in the future, but I just wanted to clarify that. And also, would it be fair to say that meditation will make one a better person?
Well, let's see. Will meditation make one a better person? Not necessarily so. I don't think you could count on it. Maybe, Dale, you would answer this differently, but I would say it will make you more of what you already are. In other words, whatever your life tendency, I think meditation will bring it to fruition. And it will make you aware of what you are and what you are becoming, because we are all in a state of development. We're not a finished project. We're all developing, and meditation will make you aware of what you are becoming if you continue to live and think and react in the way that you have typically done throughout your life.
If you allow, build that channel, that bridge to the soul, those soul qualities will have a opening, a direct opening into your lower personality life. And if you allow those qualities, which are basically those of love and light and goodwill and sharing and cooperation and all of that, if you allow those qualities to take command of your life, then yes, you will be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I think you'll go through a stage where you realize how much work you have to do. The light that pours in through meditation reveals the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the effect of light. And you start to become aware of a lot of the unredeemed aspects of your nature, which is part of the process, but it is a stage that's not too not too encouraging.
Yeah, you as you say, light starts to pour in, and that's one of the first reactions, is how much you do not measure
with
up.
The soul,
you
yes.
don't measure up, and that's suddenly can be very discouraging, but it's just
a stage.
A stage you have to plow through, and that's all.
I agree with you. I think anything through meditation, I've found that there are so many things that I need to change, and I think meditation is... caused me to face that, but even though I've gotten a lot of benefits from meditation, are there different kinds of meditation? I mean, I'm doing one kind and
kinds.
I'm aligning myself with your meditation, but are there? Yeah, there are.
Yes, okay. There are many different meditation practices. I think a lot of people today probably think of meditation as a means of stress reduction. That is one type of meditation, especially people who are very active and busy and frazzled pursue meditation for that reason. There's another type of meditation that's more along the Buddhist line, which is the elimination of all mental activity, the quieting down of all thinking processes so that you achieve almost a blank mind state.
Mm-hmm.
Another type of meditation that we work with in the Arcane School is called Raja Yoga, which means the yoga of the mind, the use of the mental energies in a way that reorganizes, redirects, and lifts them upward. Rather than trying to quiet and deaden the thinking process, it reorients it to create that bridge that you mentioned of access to the soul.
And one of the very ancient practices of meditation is, of course, Hatha Yoga, which is basically having to do with the development of the physical body, but that's
postures.
The postures, the asanas and all of that. And that's a, as I said, a very ancient technique, and probably it's one that should not be used so much today in this Western world.
Well, that's interesting, but we also want to talk about what we're giving away. Dale and Sarah both have agreed to give you a gift, and all you have to do to get that gift is to give us a call on our toll-free number, and we'll send the gift out to you. The gift is a booklet, and it's the title of the booklet is An Introductory Guide to Meditation. And there's a lot of topics about meditation that you'll see written about in the book, the practice of meditation, and also the Raja Yoga method is explained, and the need for care. It's a very interesting booklet that can start you off on meditation. And then also they're generously giving you a tape. The tape is, cassette tape, is titled Beginning to Meditate. It's a cassette tape that will guide you into meditation, and hopefully you'll derive some of the benefits that that I've derived from meditation. I've gotten so much out of it. And we'll be happy to send that out to you free of charge. You can order this both gifts by giving us a call on the toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. And the easy way to remember the number is 1-866-NY-LUSIS. Think of New York LUSIS, so 1-866-NY-LUSIS. And we'll send you an introductory guide to meditation plus Beginning to Meditate. That's the cassette tape I spoke about a moment ago. And all the work of the LUSIS Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the LUSIS Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. And donations can be sent to LUSIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's donations can be sent to LUSIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. People frequently ask us to define LUSIS Trust for them, and I know we talk about a lot of spiritual matters, and I guess for lack of a better expression, we can call ourselves a spiritual philosophy organization. We're not a religion. There are people from all walks of lives and a multiple number of backgrounds who come to our meditation meetings, which, by the way, you're welcome to come to also. If you want to make more direct contact with the LUSIS Trust organization and its staff, you're welcome to come to the monthly meditation meetings. And you can write or call for a meeting schedule. And you, once again, you can write to LUSIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, or call, once again, to get your free gifts. Or if you'd like more information, call at 1-866-695-8247, 1-866-695-8247. Now, a lot of people, I think, you know, I hear it, the words meditation and prayer often used by people interchangeably. How is meditation different from prayer?
Well, first of all, I would want to say that we don't disparage the use of prayer at all. I think most of us pray at times and meditate at other times. Prayer is the emotional expression of need and an appeal for an answer, a response from a higher power, from God, to that need, to that request. And there are times when we can only summon up the energy to make such an appeal. Meditation, on the other hand, is more of a, I would say, more of a cooperative relationship with God, in the sense that human beings are endowed with a mind, mm-hmm. and our mind is our means of cooperating with God in the fulfillment of His plan for our world. And the real goal of meditation is to become mentally responsive to the emerging realization of the plan of God. I don't know of any ordinary human being who could begin to encompass mentally the plan of God. But I think we can, through meditation and service, become aware of our tiny little part in the plan and how we might cooperate. And meditation can bring about that realization.
Mm-hmm. I think another way of looking at the difference is that prayer is essentially based on the concept of God transcendent,
mm-hmm.
God above his creation and apart from his creation. And whereas meditation tends to appeal to those who recognize God immanent or God within mm-hmm. his creation, and the divinity within, as it says in the Bible, Christ in you, the hope for glory. And both of these are correct. There is this God transcendent as well as the God within. And I think each technique has its place. But as you said.
Coming back to this point of different types of meditation, that also helps us to understand the difference between meditation and prayer. There is meditation with seed and meditation without seed that are interesting to consider. What I'm referring to is the focus of the mental energies upon an object, a seed, is one type of meditation. It uses the mind to reason, to judge, to weigh and evaluate, to build thought forms, which are ideas or concepts about the particular object you're meditating upon. Whereas meditation without seed is, in a kind of a very general sense, a higher expression of the impulse to pray, in that it creates of the mind a kind of a negative plate, if you were thinking of photography, a receptive, receiving mechanism that receives the imprint of divine intention. That's a stage of meditation called contemplation, in fact. And meditation without seed is a very advanced form of meditation, mm-hmm. but it helps one to see some of the differences between meditation and prayer.
Yeah, I'm just dwelling on what you were saying before, what Dale was saying about God being within us, but some people might not go along with that. But if you really look at the Judeo...
Why shouldn't he be within us?
Yeah,
Why would people not go along with that?
Judeo-Christian approach to spiritual matters, it's God is ubiquitous, and yet people can say that and recite that, but then when it comes to talking about God being within us, oftentimes people object to that.
Well, we didn't say we are God.
No,
that's foolish.
He said God is within us.
Right.
And if we think about God being ubiquitous, well, that means it's within us also. Right. How is meditation used in discipleship training, as in the Arcane School, which is part of Lucis Trust?
Well, it's the core, the foundation for the training of discipleship, which is the treading of the spiritual path. The reason that it's such a foundational aspect is that the mind has to be mobilized, organized, and become responsive and receptive to the plan of God if one is going to develop spiritual awareness. And meditation is the discipline of the mind to receive this awareness of the soul. The soul has a plan, as we've talked about many times on previous programs. Meditation enables one to become aware of the soul's intention. So the training of the Arcane School is to enable one to become mentally receptive to the soul's plan and to begin to cooperate with it.
Yes, and there's another aspect of that, not only the alignment with the soul, but also there's an aspect of meditation process called visualization that is taught in the Arcane School. And that's a very important ability to use the mind to visualize, because when we develop this capacity to visualize, we're using the image-making faculty of the higher astral nature. And when you make a mental picture, you begin to attract mental substance around that image, and by the use of the spiritual will, your own will, you begin to hold it steady. You develop the capacity to hold that image steady and thereby give it life. And this is a very creative and service way of using meditation. And that's one of the features that stands out in the Arcane School work.
Another important aspect of meditation as taught in the school is that it's a form of service. Meditation may seem to some people almost a kind of self-indulgent practice that would be gazing at one's navel, so to speak. But meditation as taught in the school is a means of service, because it's the use of the mind to register and radiate into human consciousness spiritual energies. And particularly when people cooperate in group meditation, this becomes possible. We have our group monthly meditation meetings that the public are invited to. Each of us on our own might not be terribly adept at meditation, but when we join with a group in a shared endeavor, we add our little bit of light to a group endeavor that can help to distribute light and love and the spiritual will to good into human consciousness. If you believe that that is possible, if you believe you can help to direct spiritual energies for the upliftment of consciousness, then group meditation is an important means of service.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to that opening thought that meditation is not an escape from reality.
No.
It's actually a process where you are very involved in the world. And that is one of the strong emphasis on the meditation work in the Arcane School. It is seen, as Sarah says, as a service, a very definite form of service, and becomes a way in which we can redirect our lives.
After all, we were born to be present in the world. The soul came into incarnation to be its divine self in the world, and meditation helps to realize that.
Okay. And by the way, just a reminder, we're giving you a gift, and we're happy to send it out to you free of charge. Well, I guess that's what a gift is, but give us a call on our toll-free number, and we'll send you the booklet, the title of it, An Introductory Guide to Meditation, plus the cassette tape that we spoke about earlier, Beginning to Meditate. Just give us a call on 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247, or the easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's New York LUCIS. So 1-866-NY-LUCIS, and we'll send that gift out to you just by having you call in. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.